This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
At least 20 of the colleges and universities in America across the country have become infected by a very dangerous virus that is spreading like wildfire, the anti-Israel virus. And it seems that college kids are being caught up with a wave of not just anti-Semitism, but a wave of rebellion, just like happened back in 1968 and so on. Well, we understand, those of us who have gone through that period back in the late 1960s know what that's about. But those of you who haven't are having a hard time understanding the dynamics of what is taking place in America's colleges and universities. And not only is it a virus against Israel and anti-Semitism, but also there is a repeated virus of, dare we say, rebellion. Just open rebellion. Rebellion against God, rebellion against parents, rebellion, just as the Bible said would take place. There, the Apostle Paul, when he said, beware, perilous times are coming. People will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. And it will be all kinds of problems that he lays out there. And believe it or not, kids that are leaving high school and on their way to college are going to face a lot of these things. In fact, they already are. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about how to stay the course when you leave high school and go to college. Some of you may have students like that. We happen to have, my wife and I have one grandson who is getting ready to graduate from high school and go on his way to college with a baseball scholarship. On the other hand, we have two grandsons who are graduating from engineering school. And they also are looking for their challenges ahead. Every one of us is looking to graduate from something onto something else. And graduation, they call it commencement. It's the beginning of something new. Well, when you're going to begin something new, that means you're leaving something old and going into something that's relatively unfamiliar. I had that situation many years because I've been to 26 different schools over my lifetime. And I faced many, many different situations. I remember one time in the 10th grade, I went to my mother. We had just moved to a new city and a new school, and they were doing things in architectural drafting that I had not seen, hadn't experienced, and I just didn't think there was any way I could ever catch up. And I went to her, and I was lamenting, Mom, I just don't know what to do. How am I going to handle this? She said, Chuck, just stay the course. Hang in there. And God will see you through. And he did, in fact. And I remember going into law school, and it was a very different experience. I had gotten straight A's in college and in high school. And so, but I got into law school, and the thinking was very different. And I had a very hard time grasping it. And so I talked to my wife, and I said, do you think I ought to continue on with this? And she said, just hang in there, and God will lead you through it, and it'll open the doors for you. And that's exactly what happened. But we all face these kinds of commencement situations that challenge us. Well, today we're going to be talking with Catherine Paisauer with her book, Stay the Course. It's a devotional handbook to survive and thrive in your first year of college and beyond. And so, Catherine, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I so much appreciate your southern twang down there from North Carolina. Just think how deep it would be if you were in South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. The further south you go, the more obvious it becomes.
Well, you know, that southern twang just helps to grease the skids to get a message across, I think. It softens the edges. And I appreciate it so much. But what I'd like to know, since you have had your history in education, you actually are retired from the field of education, but you've been involved in many different levels. Tell us about that.
That's true. I started out as a elementary physical education teacher.
Really? Physical education?
Yes, yes.
Do you know that I caught physical education during junior high school when I went to college, when I went to law school at night? So, yeah, we've got something in common there, sister.
Oh, we do. Well, bless you for doing that. Junior high students are quite amazing. I had a round with them, too. In part of my career.
Well, those are the front lines of education, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Send them to the front. Put them in middle school, junior high.
There you go.
That is true. And I really loved that job, but I began to feel a calling that I needed to work with students that were wanted to be teachers. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to school so I could teach in college, and I spent the last half of my career preparing students to teach health education, physical education, or to do research. And I guess that's where my love for writing came in.
Uh-huh.
My students were always amazed that I love to write, and, you know, they moaned and groaned, "Ooh, who loves to write?"
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Well, you've written a wonderful, helpful book here, and I'm grateful that you did that, because there are going to be so many parents and grandparents that are going to be delighted to provide this book to their children or grandchildren that are graduating from high school and heading on into an unknown place called college or university that can be a pretty scary place. And friends, the book is called Stay the Course. $18 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. And you can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. And I'm going to be giving this to that one grandson who's heading off to college, and I'm sure that there are many others out there. So why do you think this book needed to be written?
I've had a lot of experience working with beginning students.
Uh-huh.
And when they come in, they are a combination of courage and bravado and being terrified completely out of their senses. And some of the same things that we went through, or you may not have ever been scared in college, but I certainly was, because it is an unknown.
Yeah, well, I wasn't scared in college, but when I went through four
law
high schools across the country.
Ooh.
And numerous other I think I went to four different schools in the sixth grade, and you always got to be ready for something new, something different. I thank the Lord for all those experiences, but some people would have been absolutely terrified by it. And I think it gave me the opportunity to do a lot of the things that I do today very quickly. So we all have these experiences.
I was just saying it prepared you for life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, here they are. They're about ready to hit a summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And certain kinds of indoctrinations there. I call them indoctrinations.
That's true.
Is that what we should call it as they head into college? Indoctrinations?
Well, I don't know what we should call it that's what happens.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back from this break. Again, Dr. Catherine Haysauer with her book, Stay the Course. It's a very helpful book, a devotional book to help our young people across some very dangerous terrain. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
What do you do to help a child, a boy, a young girl, who is heading off to leave home to go to college? Maybe it's a junior college, maybe it's a college, a Christian college, maybe it's a secular university. Whatever it happens to be, how do you prepare? What can we do? What's that?
We pray for them first.
Well, yeah, we better pray for them.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I interrupted. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Keep going.
What we do to prepare them, we pray for them. We've given them a strong foundation, hopefully, from their parents and from their church family that has prepared them for all the new things that they're going to face, because it is new. You mentioned commencement. It's mm-hmm. a whole new world out there, and they're going to be bombarded with new ideas and different beliefs, different philosophies. So they need that really strong foundation. And those that do have it are blessed, because the temptations will be there. It's all different. They don't have anyone that's getting them up in the morning or anyone that they can run their ideas by. So they are faced with new challenges.
Absolutely. Now, when I graduated from high school, I could have gone to virtually any college I wanted to go to, but I didn't know what college I wanted to go to. I didn't even know where I was heading. So I ended up going to a small Christian college, and I was glad that I did. I felt like I got a pretty decent education for the things that God had prepared me for. But a lot of kids, you know, they're not necessarily going to a Christian college or university. They may be going to a secular college. What is your advice? Do you think a parent today dare send their child to a secular college?
Well, sometimes we can't help but do that, because there are reasons that students will actually choose to go to a secular college. It may be the only place that offers the type of curriculum that they want for their chosen career.
Uh-huh.
I was blessed to teach at a small liberal arts university mm-hmm. that had a Christian background, and I loved it. But I attended a secular university, and so many of our students, you know, go to those places where they can afford to go, where uh-huh. they can get the best financial aid and scholarships,
right.
and
uh-huh.
might be the proximity to their home that's important. So there's so many different things that factor into where they choose. So I think a family just needs to talk about it together and discuss what's going to be best for that particular student for what they want to do.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to prepare send a child into a powerfully secular and non-Christian environment if they were not prepared fundamentally in their own lives to stand in this evil day and having done all to stand, would you?
Yes, that's very true. They need that strong faith and the background that they have in it, and an understanding that they have this personal relationship with Christ, and that he's going to be with them mm-hmm. when they face those temptations, that they're going to be there. But even the powerful secular universities that have a reputation for being very far away from the faith, they will have, either in the community or some organizations there in the university itself, that will offer support mm-hmm. to Christians and
yeah.
those who are striving to stay in the faith. Just because it's a secular university doesn't mean that there aren't support groups there or
yeah.
in the community that will help students.
Well, that's true. Our congregation is yes. actually supporting a gentleman
yes.
who is doing
uh-huh.
that very thing in a secular university known as a party school. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, there's so many things that we can do. And actually, to be real honest about it, just sending your children to a Christian university or college doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get clear Christian training and aren't going to face some of the same temptations they're going to face at a secular university.
Just
ask me, because I served on the board of directors
uh-huh.
of my alma mater for 4 years, and what I discovered was not necessarily pretty.
Yes, you're right. Those secular and attacks on the faith can happen even in a Christian school. Yes. So you're right.
What do you make of this pattern that's developed over the past, say, 2 to 3 weeks that just is metastasizing across the country like a viral cancer? What do you make of that?
I think it's a sad and tragic situation. But as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, college students are so quick to pick up a banner of whatever social issue
yeah.
or political issue is going on, because they are at the stage where they feel invincible and they feel like they need to to snatch up.
They need to have a cause, right? A cause.
They need to have a cause. That's
yeah.
right. They need to have a cause. And so they are impulsive, and they don't think through different things as to how the repercussions are going to affect them long term. And so they are just so enthusiastic and so strongly believe in this cause, whereas they could work toward the cause in a different, more peaceful way, or they could seek to find out more about the cause.
Right, they might actually find out what the real issues are instead of just jumping on some insurgent's bandwagon that is choreographing them like the Pied Piper over the cliff.
True, but that's just the nature of being a young, transitioning from being a child, a teenager, into a young adult.
So what do you say to a parent, then, that sees their child involved in this cacophony or sending them into the cacophony? What do you say to a Christian parent who doesn't really know what to do now?
Well, love your child no matter what, but then don't be afraid to tell them your opinion of it, because, and then to try to reach them about the repercussions of these things, and again, pray for them, and even if need to enlist, well, of course, we need to enlist the prayers of our church family, the outreach, the other people in the community to pray. We need to be praying for our students at these colleges and universities, because so many of them don't understand, and they are being entrapped by others who are pulling them into these things.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that it seems to me has been lacking, in fact, Dr. George Barna had joined me here on this program last week to talk about the complete lack of discipleship among our young people. And, you know, he's the statistical guru to the church for the past 40 years, pretty well knows the landscape out there. And he said, we just have not been discipling our children, our young people. And so, you know, even 80% of professing Christian young people today do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's a
80%.
Terrifying.
Which means they purport to be Christians, but they get into these environments and their Christianity looks radically different than Christ. They've embraced completely alternative ideals, and it seems to me that a parent that really wants to prepare their child, daughter or son, is going to have to take seriously some discipleship even now before the child leaves home. What say you?
Yes, I agree completely. And it's also important for them to prepare them of these different ideas and philosophies that they're going to face, and give them, if they've got the strong commitment to Christ, then they've got to have the confidence and faith to stand up to these other attacks. But it's not that they can avoid them. They're going to have to face these attacks head on. It's going to happen.
Temptation's hidden snares often take us unawares. It's going to come, and it's going to come like an avalanche in many respects. So we've got to be prepared. Prepare our sons and our daughters. It reminds me of Daniel heading into Babylon as a young man, and The first thing it says in the book of Daniel says, he purposed in his heart to follow the Lord. It seems to me that that's the first thing that our young people have to do, is purpose in their heart to follow the Lord come what may.
Yes, you're right. And we cannot protect them or prevent these temptations. They are going to face them. So we can't put them in a bubble and keep it from happening. What we have to do is give them the knowledge and information to rebut these attacks on their faith. They have to learn as much as possible about what's out there and going to happen to them, and then be prepared for it and get a support group. I just can't emphasize that enough, that when our students go away to college, they need a support group of people who believe in Jesus and they can bond together and have those each other to talk to and to pray together.
Mutual support. You know, as you were sharing here, the thought came to my mind, this isn't what your book is about, but this would be as an adjunct to your book because of all the temptations and challenges that kids are going to face. My book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception, would be perfect for kids going into college and also even after the graduation from college. How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception, Seduction of the Saints, because it goes through all the various issues that we face, and they're there. And it would give people, kids, an opportunity to understand how to respond, how to combat, and how to stand strong in the evil day. So, friends, if you want to get that book, it's $15 on our website. It's an $18 book called Seduction of the Saints, saveus.org. You can find it right there on the website. So, I highlighted several things in your book that really stood out to me as foundational. They're not the only things, but they stood out to me as foundational. And here are some of those, Catherine. Seek the Lord. Seek wisdom. Choose how to conform and how not to conform. And keep your connection to home. Why are those things important?
Keep your connection to home. Let me start from the back end. Because that's our family. I mean, we have extended family, of course. Once you go to college or you get a job somewhere, those people that you're around all the time also become like your family. But your basis is your parents or your guardian or your extended family, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, your church family.
Right. So you mean that a college student still needs to honor his or her father and mother that they might live long on the earth?
Of course. I do believe that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I did remind them in the book that their relationship will never quite be the same again once they leave the nest, but it's not necessarily better or worse. It's just different.
Different. There you go. And a mom will always be a mom. A dad will always be a dad, right?
And that child will always be our baby, no matter what age they are.
Especially if you're a mother. That's mothers.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, they have mothering hearts. And I watch my wife, you know, deal with our grandchildren. So we have 10 of them. And, a mother will always be a mother, even when she's a grandmother. All right. The next thing
but
is.
I remind them that they, I'm sorry, let me say one more thing about that, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Always keep that connection, but recognize it's going to be different. So college students don't need to tell their parents everything. They might be surprised at the things that their parents did when they were 20. We don't want to share all that either. But on the other hand, they shouldn't be skeptical about the fact that their parents were young once too.
Oh, okay.
So,
you're not talking about starting a new secret society, are you?
No.
Good. Okay. Just checking.
No.
All right.
No. It's just that sometimes students are afraid to tell their parents things because, they'll be so upset at me and can't believe that I did such a thing. And I really want to say, you don't know some of the things that your parents might have done when they were young, that you need to keep those communication lines open. Your parents are going to always love you. So tell them, but then learn from the mistake.
Yeah.
And then move forward.
Well, if you don't have any temptations and trials, you can't have any victories. So you only gain victory if you're tested. See, that's why we have tests, right?
And you will be tested.
That's right, exactly. Friends, the book is Stay the Course, a handbook to survive and thrive in your first year of college and beyond. $18 will put it in your hands. What a gift this would be to your kid or grandchild heading off to college. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $5 for postage. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Our special guest today, Dr. Catherine Paisauer, with her book, Stay the Course, written for high school students graduating and heading on to college. It's called Commencement. It's the start of a new session of life, and very challenging. As she says right on the back of her book, the college experience can be wonderful and terrifying at the same time. And depending upon the child and their background and their personality and so on, that's true. One of the things that, Catherine, you mentioned here in making wise decisions is seeking the Lord. And I want to put the strongest emphasis on this, because even though the college student isn't necessarily thinking in those terms, this is the most important thing of all. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto you. Now, even adults don't seem to get it. Professing Christians just don't seem to get it. Even pastors don't seem to get it. But Jesus made it very simple. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom of God, not just Jesus, but his righteousness. And then all the other things will be added unto you. Do you believe that?
Oh, absolutely. I will admit, though, I didn't have it all down pat when I was a college student.
Well, confession's good for the soul, Catherine.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. How many people am I confessing to?
Yeah, right. You just don't know. And it could be echoing on down the... Yeah. So you said there will be temptations. But see, when the temptations come, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you have a standard by which to measure and respond to the temptation. So if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and a sexual temptation comes to you, it might fly over your head, but you don't have to let it make a nest in your hair, do you?
That's absolutely right. And
so you'll brush it off. You say, get behind me, Satan. No, that's not part of the kingdom of God. I'm not going down that road.
Yes. Yes, you were right. And those temptations will come. And that's one of them that, you know, colleges are looked at as being sexual activity into sexual activity hotspots, but...
Well, they're actually trying to choreograph it in some of the secular universities.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
Yes, and that's always been the case, that things have been more open on college campuses than what we would like. But yes, those temptations will come, and you have said it perfectly, that if we are striving to do what Jesus would do in those circumstances and to do what is right, when the devil shoots those darts and we get that idea in our head, you know, we can wipe it out. You know, seek the word, seek some help from your friends who are also trying to be abstinent,
right?
Wait till marriage. And even if a student has made a mistake at one point, it doesn't mean that they can't go back and say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can stop at any time.
Well, we do have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Don't you think those are there to be used?
Yes. Put on the full armor of God.
The full armor. Yeah, the full, and use it.
Absolutely. It doesn't do any good if we set it over there in a corner somewhere.
Well, here's what most people think. And I get this all the time. People think, I confessed Christ as my Savior back there 30 years ago, 20 years, 5 years ago, whatever. So I got the whole armor of God on. Not so. Not so.
Oh, yes.
You're just a baby. You just made a confession of faith. You didn't get any armor on at all. You're not ready for anything.
Each new day is a new day to dress in that armor.
There you go. Yes. Okay, now you say be alert. Alert for what?
Oh, goodness.
Anything and everything, right?
Everything. You know, the thoughts to enter our mind, someone to distract us. On a college campus, there's so the temptation, well, do I go out to eat with my friends and go to this party tonight, or do I study for this test that I have tomorrow?
Or do I get involved in this drunken orgy or start imbibing in drugs for recreation just because my friends are doing it?
That's right. It's constant. It's constant, just as it is in life.
I mean, exactly.
It's harder for our young adults, but just as it is in our everyday life. We as adults, in our fourth quarter, as I have a friend that likes to say, oh, we're living in the fourth quarter. That doesn't thrill me. I say, well, at least we're not in overtime yet. But we still get...
Okay, well, you know, they say 60 is the new 40, so, you know...
We have two more quarters left then,
see,
don't we?
Be refreshed.
We're just at halftime.
There you go. Take the narrow road. I really appreciated that one. Jesus said that many are going to follow the wide and the broad way, but it leads to destruction. But if you follow the narrow path, it leads to life, and very few there will be that take that way. Question, if you're going to be a college student or you're going to go into some other situation that's new, which way are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the narrow way, the Lord's way, or are you going to follow the way, the broad way that seems so popular, but it leads inevitably to destruction? It seems to me that's one of the most important things.
It is. And, you know, peer pressure starts very early for children, and it continues through their entire, into our entire lifetime.
Well, absolutely. Isn't peer pressure what the politics are using to try to force everyone to take the COVID-19 jab and all of this?
Peer pressure never lets up. Yes,
it never lets up.
As far as the narrow road, it takes so much courage.
It does.
They can get that courage from their faith in Christ.
Do you know a lot of people don't realize that pastors are as prone to peer pressure as anybody else?
Oh, yes.
You know why? Because they're looking at every other pastor out there, and they're thinking, you know, I want to have a big church like that guy. I want to do this. I want to have that. In other words, they're conformists. And I've watched this happen across the country. My father was a pastor. I've been pastoring for 40 years, even as a lawyer. And I've watched this happen. And it seduces us into things. You don't have to be a college student to be seduced down the broad road that leads to destruction. We've got to be very careful about that. And then resisting temptation, that's a corollary to walking the narrow road, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It definitely is, because the temptations for college students are so many because of the peer pressure to party or to be sexually active or to use drugs. You know, they have to make a conscious effort to step away and go toward that narrow path instead of the broad path where they're engaging in behaviors that are not pleasing to God and are even dangerous for themselves.
You have so many different categories in your book. There's no way we can begin to talk about all of these. We're talking about the ones that I think are most foundational, because if the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? The scripture says. So if you don't have your foundation set and your heart and direction set, you're going to be subject to every wind of doctrine, and you will follow the broad path. So there are other things talking about attitudes. Be an encourager, be kind, make sure your talk is wholesome, do no harm, become a good listener, follow instructions, which means you're not going to be a rebel, right? But isn't rebellion one of the principal characteristics of the teenage years?
Absolutely. And we're always going to have rules. Maybe we strike out harder against them when we're teenagers and young adults, but we're always going to have guidelines.
Well, do you know what the most hated word in the church today is? Obey.
Really?
O-B-E-Y. How many pastors and parachurch leaders have admitted that in the last 8 to 10 years on this program? That's the most hated word in the church today. Whether you're a young person or older, we don't want to obey God.
I can understand that attitude, yes. Submission is hard.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Submission, yeah.
It's hard, yeah. But when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are agreeing that we're going to walk his path, which means submission to God. Because look at his example.
It also means you're going to be tested.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
You're going to be tested. And if you don't get tested, you're not going to have any victory. You have to be tested or tried to have a victory. And the more victories you have in Jesus, the stronger you are, the greater your testimony. No test, no testimony. There you go, friends. If a college student wants to have a testimony, he's got to be tested. She's got to be tested. And it has to stay the course. That's the book, Stay the Course. $18 will put it in your hands as a gift to your daughter, your son, your grandson, granddaughter, whatever. And I urge you to do it. It's a very, very good book. Very good. And it's written I guess you would call it a devotional style. So it's not a lot of long chapters. There's not a lot of preachment or anything like that. It's trying to get the attention, help us to guide. And it's on our website, saveus.org, Stay the Course. I love the title, Stay the Course. And, you know, it's like when the coach, Catherine, you know, when the coach says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a good gym teacher, you know that. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, yeah. So Stay the Course. And the book also is on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. See what we're doing here today? We're discipling for destiny. That's what we're doing. We're discipling for destiny, preparing our college-to-be students for the times ahead.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
There's a song taken from the Psalms. It says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A college student is going to feel overwhelmed. Just is. Just like you do. When your soul is weary, when your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Catherine, I think that's very important. If we're going to stand firm and stay the course, there's going to be weariness. You said you're a hiker, right?
Yes, I enjoy nature. Love to be out there walking. I get closer to God that way.
Okay. Well, I used to do a lot of hiking and a lot of rock climbing, peak climbing and so on in my younger years. And I tell you, as much as you enjoy that and the beauty, you get weary, you get tired. And sometimes you just want to quit. Right?
Absolutely. Sometimes we just want to quit. I remember those days.
Still
have them sometimes.
Well, that's why I want to find a good solid rock and get on that rock and maybe lay out on that rock for a while. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'll tell you. And in the spiritual sense, we need to do that, not only if you're a college student, but day by day and with each passing moment, strength we have to find to meet our trials here. There's another wonderful song, isn't it?
There's another wonderful song?
Yeah, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause to worry or to fear.
Mm, I love those hymns.
Isn't that great?
So many of them are taken directly from God's Word.
Absolutely.
Sing them.
Absolutely. And a college student needs to somehow have that driven deep into the passion, the membranes of their mind and heart, because it's not always going to be easy.
It's never easy.
Yeah, I haven't found any walk particularly easy.
No, we know the rock, though. But when you talked about being weary, I love the scripture in Matthew 11:28,
mm-hmm,
about come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
He will take our burdens from us and carry them. And that's important for college students to know that Christ is there, and he's just waiting for them to come to him.
And that's one of the reasons why you recommended that a college student also have a genuine Christian fellowship that they are accountable to and become part of for encouragement and for encouraging others.
Yes, it's so important to have that support group. And as you just point out, encouraging others. It's not just that we go to that group just to milk it all from them.
Exactly.
We go and contribute. We go and we're a part of it, and we share our faith with others. And I love what you said earlier about the testing. You know, all those trials that we go through, he goes through them with us. And then when we come through on the other side, we're stronger and our faith is stronger.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Hmm. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
It sounds simple when you say it.
Except when that frisky filly walks by and all of a sudden all the temptations sweep over your head like a tsunami.
Absolutely. And even when it's not an issue of relationship, just the issue of making a choice. Well, do I get up today and go to class, or do I sleep in because I'm really tired?
Oh, everybody's always tired, though.
Yes, but we get up and do it anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings us to another aspect, and that takes us back to our commonality. You were a physical education teacher, and I did that for 5 years in junior high school when I was in law school in the evening. It was a great experience, by the way, a great experience. It was a great balance for me. And I enjoyed it so much that I actually, even though I didn't have any physical education training per se in college, I actually ended up being the athletic director for the district in that regard. So you never know. You just never know. But you know what? One of the things I participated with my students. I didn't ever ask them to do anything that I wasn't willing to do. And so that means that if they're going to have to run the race, I'm going to have to run the race.
Mm-hmm.
I have to show by example that I'm willing to run the race. How many people have visions about beginning a race, but they don't understand the requirement to finish? Just leaving kind of a pregnant silence there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to get born again, but they just don't want to live the born again life. They want to claim they're following Christ, but not really. No, they're out of their lane and they're disqualified. You get out of your lane in a race and you're disqualified, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, how come we don't understand that in the nature of the kingdom of God? And a college student has to run the race that is set before us. I love the Apostle Paul. He talks about this analogy of running a race, pressing for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you think that that's what a college student should have in their mind and heart when they get in there into that college or university experience?
They always need to look at the end goal,
mm-hmm.
and not let the momentary temptations pull them away from the end goal. Keep pressing on, pressing on. But one thing about running that race, if they get out of their lane and are disqualified at that moment, their Savior is there, though, waiting to pick them up and put them back on the track.
If we confess our sin.
Again.
If we confess our sin and acknowledge it, yeah.
Yes.
That's one of the good things. You know, it reminds me, have you ever seen the film Chariots of Fire?
I have. I love it.
Oh, it's tremendous. I've seen it at least, well, I've taken all my grandchildren through it. It's just, I've seen it many times. And I think of the time when Eric Little, the main character, is running in a country setting, a race. And the guy that's competing against him was very, shall we say, unfair and tripped him up. And so Eric Little falls. He's running about a quarter of a mile, and he falls and he rolls on the ground. And you can see, you can just understand what's going on in his mind. Do I lay down and quit, or do I get up and finish the race? And you hear that tremendous music, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that rises up, and he gets up and presses on and finishes the race. Not only does he finish the race, he wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
Oh, I've got goosebumps up and down my spine just reiterating it.
Oh, me too. I feel it.
And that's what a student needs to have. In fact, we all need to have that. We really do, to run the race, and when you fall down, you're not totally crushed. You get up, you say, okay, Lord, yeah, I tripped, I fell, let's get on with it. Whether it was sin, whatever it was, now let's move forward and let's finish the race.
Yes, you are right. Don't give up.
Never give up. That's a good word from Winston Churchill, isn't it?
Never, ever, ever give it up.
Yes. Never, ever, ever give up. And yet I remember right there in my first year of law school, I just was having the hardest time grasping what they were really looking for in terms of identifying issues. Fortunately, in learning all of that, it's helped me to discern spiritually the issues that we face. And that's what we do every day here on Viewpoint. But I remember I was seriously tempted to quit. And my wife says, no, not so quick, Chuck. Hang in there. You'll get it. You'll get it. And I want to encourage people to press on. That's what Paul did, didn't he? The Apostle Paul? Yeah. The Apostle. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then when he finished at the end of his life, what did he say, Catherine?
I have run the race.
I've run the race. I finished the course.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's got to be the vision. Even for a child, a kid going into college and university. Don't you think that kind of heart vision would change the country?
Oh, yes, I do. And I think that we need to ask ourselves, how can we contribute to that vision? How can we nurture our children and grandchildren and help them to run their race?
And it's pretty hard to do that if we're not running the race, isn't it?
That's right.
Wow.
We've got to be the example.
Absolutely. So we can demonstrate how we press toward the mark for the prize, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And with that standard, we have standing then to encourage and strengthen our young people for these perilous times, don't we?
Yes.
Do you think we're living in perilous times, Catherine?
I do. I do think we're living in perilous times, but I also think that God is calling us to do everything that we can to show others that he is the answer.
That's right. That's right. And that's why you've written the book, Stay the Course. You want to encourage, you're using your expertise, your background, your experience to pass it on, pass our, you're passing it on. There you go. You're passing it on, and that's what we need to do, a devotional handbook to survive and thrive in your first year of college and beyond. And there are a lot of kids out there. Some of our listeners have kids, grandkids. It's time. We need to step up to the plate. We can't do everything. But what I can do, I should do. And by the grace of God, we will do, won't we? Catherine, pray for the parents and grandparents out there.
Yes. Oh, Lord, we love you. We need you. This time of year, our high school seniors are commencing on a new and different pathway. But we know that you will be with them, and we pray that we can do everything we can to nurture them and set them on the path that you would have them to take and support them on the journey. We pray that you will be with every graduating senior and all of our children and young people, that we might be role models and that they will be able to stay the course, keep their faith as they head off to college, and to be a good role models for others and be a witness while they are there. We pray for them in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord gives to them who love him and who follow according to his purpose. Stay the course, my friends. It's on our website, saveus.org. $18 will put it in your hands. What a gift. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. A big thank you to Dr. Catherine Paysauer here for her book today and for sharing her life and heart for our kids. Friends, become a partner. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. Yes, even today, discipling for destiny. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. God bless you as you do. He'll reward you. He will bless you if you will press on in faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.